Inviting Kate and I to speak. We're here for the Pastors and Leaders Conference, but actually, primarily, we were here for a wedding this weekend of our wonderful friends Kenny Lyon and Liz Lyon, who was Liz Succo, but now she's Liz Lyon. It was an amazing wedding, wasn't it? Fantastic. And Steve and Sandra married them yesterday, and we were just privileged to be there. So, wow. Talk about being home. Oh, it's been about a year and a half since I last preached on a Sunday morning here at TACF, so I'm very, very glad to be back. For those of you who have never met me before and you have no idea who I am because you joined this church in the last year and a half, Kate and I were here, had the privilege of being here for 8 years, and we're still here, but we're not here because we're technically here on staff, but we're not here because we're down in Raleigh, North Carolina, where we just planted a church, Catch the Fire Church. And as many of you know, that the churches here, the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowships of campuses that are here, are all part of Catch the Fire Ministries. We're all one big family, and that in turn, we're all part of the Partners in Harvest Network, which is a wonderful revival network that was birthed out of the revival that has been raging for the last 15 years here in this house and around the world since January the 20th, 1994. And so Partners in Harvest is kind of like our overall umbrella relationship network, apostolic relationship network that we're all part of, and we're so thrilled to be part of Partners in Harvest. But also Partners in Harvest, in turn, is part of an even bigger, wider global network of revival churches and movements that have all been birthed out of what God's done since 1994, called the Revival Alliance Network. And we're really, really privileged and honored as a movement to be part of something that's way bigger than ourselves. And so, you know, when Bill Johnson comes, for him, in a sense, it's like coming home, because his movement is part of the Revival Alliance. So, folks, we're really, really thrilled to be back. And we've had an astonishing 15 months while we've been down in Raleigh. And God's done awesome things way beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. We thought we'd just quickly show you. I'm sorry you've had a few videos, but if you don't mind indulging just in another slideshow, we'd like to show you what we've been doing and what the Holy Spirit's been doing in us for the past 15 months. So we're going to watch a slideshow. Is that okay? It's a short slideshow, but it'll give you an idea of what church planting is like, Catch the Fire style. Abba Shekabungu.
Sing holy. Holy.
Yeah, to you, Jesus. Yeah, so as you can see, we've been having a lot of fun and tremendous favor from our Heavenly Daddy. And it's just been an absolutely amazing, amazing time. Just an incredible time just for us as a family. Our whole family's just really prospered and been blessed. And, you know, that's what happens when we step forward in obedience to the Lord, when He calls us to whatever He calls us to. When we step in obedience in that, it's always at a price. It always comes with a gigantic argument on the inside of, you know, faith versus fear, love versus fear. And but when we overcome all of our fears and we step out of the boat and we begin to walk on water, God phenomenally blesses us, all of us, because we're His kids and He loves us so much. And so we've had an amazing journey, and we started off in the most, how can I say it? It was a building that every single church planting book would tell you, don't lease a building like that. But it was all that we could get. And, you know, Raleigh's a place where real estate is not easy to come by, and it's expensive. And so we rented the first building that you saw, we just rented on Sunday mornings. We leased it just for the Sunday. And, you know, of course, you have all of the things that all of our campuses here are well acquainted with, where you have to set up, tear down, and so on and so forth. And but there's something tremendous in a time like that that happens in the body. You may not necessarily have the best building to meet in, but you discover that the church has nothing to do with the building and everything to do with the people. Shake up, Bungu. And, you know, God loves His people. And when He just begins to download His love into our hearts, and then He begins to change us in His love and transform us in His love, it's just absolutely amazing how the love of God begins to be spread abroad among people as they, you know, knuckle together with adverse circumstances. And, you know, getting up in minus one Celsius, which for you guys is absolutely nothing, is it? But for people from Raleigh to get up at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning in minus one Celsius and go down to the place that we've rented and set up yet again, it's an arduous thing for those folks. And of course, you know, I would get there in the first few Sundays, I just felt like I was, I don't know, dying 1,000 deaths on the inside, because I'd arrive at this banquet hall that we'd rented, and it was not on a main road, which they tell you when you plant a church, find somewhere that's on a main road. That's the number one rule, you know. No, it's not on a main road. It's tucked away back off a main road. And then they tell you, well, if you can't get on a main road and you're in a plaza, whatever you do, make sure you're not at the back end of the plaza. You know, well, we were at the back end of the plaza, you know, and there was this banquet center that was, I mean, it was decent, but it just, you know, when you walk in on Sunday morning and you know that that the people are about to come, and it's the first few weeks and you're really hoping that they like it, and you drive into the car park and there's garbage everywhere, trash just everywhere from the party the night before, you know. And so there's me and Kate and our family and our very small team that at the time, and we're just running around picking up beer cans and everything that we, you know, just disgusting stuff. We won't even go into details. Picking it all up, putting it in the trash, just to get the car park ready. And then, you know, going off and going into the building, and then if you're in the building, they say, whatever you do, make sure you're on the ground floor. Well, we didn't even have the ground floor. We're in the basement. And so everybody comes in. When they come in, they come into this narrow foyer, and they're met by a whole bunch of enthusiastic, you know, bear-hugging, you know, kind of people that you just asked to be greeters because you wanted to just ask somebody to help. But they just take that liberty into thinking that it's their moment of opportunity to show everybody what an amazing, manifesting, crazy, God-filled, person they are, you know? And so every person who comes, they're smothering them and slobbering on them. And you're like, but you realize, you know what? Despite that, I'd still rather have a house full of the Holy Spirit than be seeker-sensitive. Shika bongo. So anyway, then they come into this foyer, and of course, after a while, when everybody, when people start to get to know each other, the foyer is absolutely jam-packed full of people who know each other. So anybody who doesn't know anybody instantaneously feels unwelcome and not part of the family. And they have to fight their way through just to get to the stairs that go down into the dungeon. I can't wait to go down there. I stay here where all the crazy lunatics are, or I go down into the dungeon and risk that there's even worse ones down there. What am I going to do? And then halfway down, suddenly the smell of yesterday's beer and alcohol and everything else comes wafting up, and it's like, yeah, I think I'm going to join this church. Yeah, this is the one for me. So really, the fact that we managed to, the fact that we managed to grow, and we managed to see people get saved, and we managed to see people set on fire with the love of God, and we were able to go to the point where we were able to take some steps of faith and trust God that He would be able to give us a building, a center. We're not calling it the building, we're calling it the center, the Catch the Fire Center, because we want everybody in the church to walk in the revelation that we're the church. We don't go to church, we are the church. And the center is where we get trained, we get equipped, and we worship together, and we meet God in a community way together. But it's just an expression of the real deal which is going on, which is that secret life with the King of Kings in intimacy. And so God gave us, you know, some gigantic steps of faith to step into, and by the grace of God, we did step into them. And a wonderful Jewish man who's not a believer in Yeshua yet, but he's sure on his way, and he's a multi-millionaire, and his friends were able to secure a plot of land, the one that you saw, that we had looked at about 6 months earlier, and we'd realized that $2.7 million was perhaps just a little ambitious for a six-month-old church. Although they had to take me to the ground, put my arms up my back, stuff my face into the concrete before I finally admitted that $2.7 million was a little too stretch for us. So our team were savage with me, but I finally agreed. And but anyway, it's amazing. We walked off of that plot the first time we went there thinking, that's where we're going to be. We don't know how it's going to happen, but that's where we're going to be. And sure enough, 6 months later, when we were at our wits' end, when we had tried everything, and lots of different landlords had done all kinds of dirty tricks on us, just trying to make money and, you know, putting us against other churches and so on and so forth. And every time they did, as soon as I found out there was another church pitted against us, I just would say to the team, let's pull out right now. There's no way we're going to be used by any landlord to try to cause another church to have to pay more rent. We're pulling out. The Lord has another way for us. And every single time we did that, the Lord must have credited it to our account as righteousness, because on the day that we found out, we went into a time of real concerted prayer, because we were desperate by September last year. And we were 1 year old, and we desperately needed to get out of this place that we were in and get our own permanent location. And just as we'd finished praying, I was on my way to Virginia Beach and to do one of those spiritual gift seminars. And just as they finished praying, Bob, our executive pastor, who God's given us just the most amazing team, our executive pastor is a man by the name of Bob Savell, who has had 20 years in the corporate world, and his last 8 years was spent as a senior vice president of Johnson & Johnson, a senior vice president, executive Senior Executive Vice President, thank you, Duncan, thank you, of Johnson & Johnson. This man is just a brilliant, brilliant man, and he's given up his pretty much near seven-figure salary to come and work for us for half of my salary, which I don't take a salary from our church. I'm still paid for by Catch the Fire World, our global ministry. But, the Lord's just given us, gifted us, Bob. He's like better than any building or center. And then he's also gifted us our brother Murray, my brother Murray, who was a director with KPMG in Sydney, Australia, one of the senior members of the KPMG team there. And he's quit his six-figure salary to come and work for us. And he's moved with his family and four children all the way to the United States. So we're really excited. God's putting an amazing team together. Stefan Kruger, who was part of our school of ministry here and was a small group leader from Germany, just an awesome, awesome young man. He came to me one day and said, while I was here, Duncan, I want to go back to Germany, but I don't know what to do when I get back there. My options are getting a degree in theology and business, and I don't know if I should do that. And I said, Stefan, go do that. I really feel the Lord's in that, but it's for you to find out, but I would 100% support you in that. And so he went back, and he got his degree in theology, and he got his business qualification, and he's just about as trained as they come. And now the Lord just dropped him into Kate's spirit that we should invite him from Germany to come and run our School of Revival, which is our two-year part of the Catch the Fire College, our global training center, and run out of here in Toronto. And our Catch the Fire School of Revival in Raleigh is a two-year program to train people how to plant Catch the Fire churches and how to run them and how to turn them into centers of training in revival. And so Stefan has come and he's just been awarded by the American government after tremendous, not opposition, but it's an arduous thing now to get a religious worker's visa. It takes months and months in America, and he's just been awarded 3 years with us. So we're really shabba, just so excited. And then Carlos and Catherine. Carlos was the one who put that video together. He's our media director and also is just an astonishing young man. He and his wife, Catherine, were on our school. Both of them were on our school here. Carlos was a small group leader, but then he was also with John and Carol as their pastoral intern. And John and Carol, you trained him well. He is incredible. And his wife is incredible, Catherine. And so they're leading our Fire Network, which is the youth and young adult network. And we've just, in September, planted Catch the Fire State, which is the university church that you saw, campus church. And we're going for a number of different campus. There's some really big universities in the Raleigh-Durham area. Duke University, which you've probably heard of. University of North Carolina, which you may well have heard of too, especially basketball because they won it last year. And also the North Carolina State University, which is another fantastic university. So three of some of the best universities in the entire United States are right in Raleigh, Durham, which was part of why God laid it on our hearts to plant there. And so we're going after the campuses, and God's giving us the campuses. It's really exciting. So, yeah, so the center, it's all very well being given a building, but if you don't have a team to run the building, it's useless. And so I'm ever so grateful for the building, but I'm way more grateful for the people that are with us. And they're an awesome team, and they're all of them better than Kate and I, and just doing a fantastic job, pulling so well. And of course, not to forget, Rob and Kelly, OG, who send their love to you all. Many of you will know Kelly Warren, who's now Kelly OG, and Rob OG, who are fantastic worship leaders, and they are leading our worship for us and training up a whole army of radical worshipers. So it's really going great. So thank you. I know that many of you will have enjoyed hearing that report, and some of you are like, well, it doesn't mean anything to me, but God bless you all anyway. Thank you so much. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 14. I want to preach this morning for the last 10 minutes. It's a very quick message anyway. John chapter 14 and verse 8. Well, let's go to verse 7. Okay, let's go to verse 5. Well, verse 4. Where I go, you know, and the way you know. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he's about to go to the cross. And Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. And they're looking at him going, huh? I am the truth and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. If you had known me, you would have also known my Father. From here on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus says to him, have I been so long with you, Philip, and yet you've not known me? Don't you realize that he who has seen me has seen the Father? So how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak of myself, but the Father dwelling in me. He does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else, if you don't believe my words, then believe by the. If you don't believe my words, then believe on account of my works. If you don't believe my words when I say to you that my Father lives in me, then believe on account of my miracles. Which is why, by the way, it's so incredibly important that we don't end up with a theology and a doctrine that has nothing to do with the works, the supernatural works and miracles of the kingdom of heaven. Because the world will never see the Father until they see the Father's works. Because it is the Father's works that testify of the Father dwelling in us. And so that's the tragedy of the great tragedy of Christianity today is there are so many, many, many churches all around the world where and believers in Jesus Christ, but they have disconnected the miracles and supernatural works that Jesus did and the early disciples did. They have disconnected them from today and said, no, they don't. They're not for today. But if we don't show the world the miracles, the signs and the wonders of the Father, the world will never see the Father. And we are called to reveal the Father just like Jesus did. In fact, he says in the book of John 20, as the Father sent me, so now I send you. You and I are supposed to be as good news to the world as Jesus is. Now, this is the part that I want to just take a moment on. He goes on to say, amen, amen in Greek, or truly, truly in the NIV, or verily, verily in the King James. But really, it's amen, amen, meaning it's done, okay? Amen, amen, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Folks, I believe that the generation that's alive today, all of us, we're the generation that God wants to use to restore back to the church the greater works. I sincerely believe that God has called me and put me on this planet, among other things, but primarily to do all the things that Jesus did and even greater works than he did, in order that the world will be able to see the Father in me and begin to believe in him. And I believe that's true of you, every one of us in this room, and every one of them, every one of us that are watching on the internet. The Lord has put us on this planet to do the greater works. Now, the Greek right there actually is megas ergons. Megas ergons. And the word megas is where we get our English word mega. Now, in England, everybody would be like, oh, I know exactly what that. That means awesome. But you see, right here in Canada and the United States, we English, we don't really, you know, we can't really say awesome because we would say awesome. And awesome just doesn't really have that same sort of awesome feel to it. So because of that, we have never really adopted the word awesome in our nation particularly. We use the word mega. We'll say something is mega, and that means it's awesome. And actually the word mega is, megas is the root word for a million. That's what mega actually means, a million. Okay, mega millions. A million millions, which in Britain is a billion. Because over here it's only 1,000 million is a billion, but in Britain it's changed now because we all realize that a million millions is such a huge number. So we've adopted the billion as the North American billion, but really mega millions is a million million. Now what Jesus is saying right here is that if you believe in me, not only will you do the things that I do, but a million times more. Now just let that sink into your spirit for a moment. Now, the word works is such a bad translation, it is ridiculous. Now, I'm not an expert in translation, but guys, how in the world, when ergons means like ergonomics, and it's like energy, okay, energy, why they would say works, I can only believe is because I guess, you know, the best works that you can do are the ones when you're fully charged with supernatural energy. Right? But what it's really saying is supernatural energy filled adventurous works. That's what ergons means. That you can only do filled with the supernatural God. And so when James uses the word and he says, I'll show you, you show me your faith, I'll show you my works. He's not talking about what World Vision does or Samaritan Purse does or what Catch the Fire does when we are helping people doing stuff. That's not what he's talking about. He's not saying, I'll show you my acts of kindness. He uses the word ergons, which is exactly what Jesus just said when he said, the ergons that I do are not my ergons, it's the Father who does them in me. Meaning the supernatural energy miracles of God that only God can do. So really James is saying, I'll show you, you show me your faith and I'll show you the evidence of my faith by the supernatural miracles. And I think he would turn in his grave if he knew that he had the sort of reputation as being the guy who wrote the book that almost didn't quite make it into the canon of scripture, and that people today that don't believe in miracles use as their perfect evidence for miracles are not for today. Let's look at James. No, I think James, the half-brother of Jesus, was an absolute energized, daddy-filled, crazy, bungu, benge, banga man of God. That's what I believe. And he's saying, listen, don't just talk empty words about miracles, do them. That's what he's saying. And so I just want to say that this year, I want to give you a charge as one of your friends and as somebody who loves this house and loves each of you and is myself one of the champion leaders in the house. And I just want to say to you all, folks, let 2010 be the year that you begin to believe God for mega works in your life. For a million times more miracles than even Jesus did. Not because you are some kind of, you know, haughty, arrogant individual that wants to boast about all the things that you do in God. No, 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 but because you see what I see, a broken, hurting, messed up world around me that desperately needs evidence that Daddy God loves them passionately. And the best evidence we can give them is a supernatural miracle, sign, and wonder. When I'm in Niger, in the Sahara Desert, when arguments over doctrines doesn't work, when arguments about theology and correct ecclesiology and churchianity is totally irrelevant because people have got their hands on their swords and they're liable to do you some harm if you don't reveal to them the true and living God. In that type of arena, miracles are the only way to bring a whole village to Christ. Heidi's proving it. Heidi and Roland are proving it in Mozambique. Terrier and all of his friends in Niger that we love, they're proving it. I will never forget pulling up into a village and watching Terrier surrounded by a crowd and a man who was born with his feet backwards so that he had never walked, with his knees like an elephant's skin on his knees and his elbows because he'd been crawling in the dirt his whole life on his hands and knees. Like that, with his hopeless, useless feet. And as he ministered the power, the mega ergons of Jesus Christ, and he pulled him up onto his feet, and his feet shot round, and he took off running down the street in front of us all. I'll never forget that. And I tell you what, when you see those kinds of things, you know. Now, I didn't see his feet come round because we just arrived as he came bursting out of the crowd, running down the street. And as he came running back, he went like some football star that had just scored the greatest home run. Folks, listen. What is true of Niger, I've realized, is just as true right here in Toronto. People are not going to believe because you argue your case for Christ. Perhaps they might. But when you demonstrate his reality by the greatest miracle that they've ever seen, you will shock them out of their boots and out of their unbelief and into the majesty of Christ. That's what won Peter. Peter was just a brawniest, probably the kind of roughest dude, the kind of person that would make everybody terrified. A lot of fishermen are like that. Just go down to the local fisherman's dock and you'll find them. And they don't have the nicest language. And when Jesus said, "Come follow me," why did he follow? I tell you why he followed. He followed because Jesus did a supernatural miracle and enabled him to catch a whole stack of fish when he shouldn't have done, when he'd been fishing all night. And then after the miracle, when his boat's sinking full of a gigantic mound of fish that was a big enough catch to support him for 3 years following Jesus probably, he fell down on his knees and said, "Have mercy on me, Jesus. I'm a sinful man. Forgive me." Jesus didn't even tell him he was sinful. He just did a miracle in front of him. Now this Peter, in the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 15, it says that, this is just a few weeks afterwards, after Jesus had gone up into heaven, just a few weeks, a few months after Jesus had said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, not only will he do the things that I do, but even greater miracles will he do in my name. Because I go to the Father." This same Peter who heard Jesus acted on his faith. And he was doing such extraordinary miracles in verse 15. Okay, a fisherman with a thick accent. How do we know that? Because it actually is recorded that they recognized by their accents that they were Galileans. "So talk like that. You're right then. How are you going on then? You're right then. You're going to boot there then. Come on to Christ, lad. He's a good lad, is Jesus, our Jesus." He was uneducated. And it says in verse 15, so many people came to Peter and the apostles, and the Lord did such extraordinary miracles among them that people would lay their sick and their paralyzed into Peter's shadow so that even his shadow would land on them. And it says in verse 16, and all of them were healed. When was the last time your shadow healed anybody? I've decided that this is the year that my shadow is going to start healing people. Why don't you just join me? By the way, the Lord spoke to me and said, Duncan, it really helps for me to heal people with your shadow if you get outside into the sun. It ain't going to happen in church. Wow, that's a good point, Lord. Oh yeah, it's a bit like the one that you said to me when I was in my prayer closet. Oh God, this was about 6 years ago. I ask you with all my heart that you would open the eyes of the blind through me. God, please. You know, I got an executive job, a desk job, but God, I want to open the eyes of the blind. I didn't say that, but I'm saying that for those of you who have that. Ah, I want you to open the eyes of the blind through me, God, please. And that's how I was praying. And the Lord said to me, Duncan, it would really help me to answer that prayer if you'd find somebody that's blind and lay your hands on them. Yeah, wow, God, that's a good point. Okay. You lead me to them then, Lord. Folks, listen, Peter, shadow, healed the paralyzed. There's no record of Jesus' shadow doing that. And Jesus doesn't mind, because that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to heal people through our shadows, because it's not us healing them, it's Christ in us healing them. And it is Jesus doing it through us. Okay? So, Philip learned the art, well, I don't know if he learned it, but Philip experienced being transported from one end of the country to the other. Can you imagine what that must have been like, that moment? There he is, in the middle of the greatest revival outside of Jerusalem, in Samaria. People getting saved, life, right, and center. People getting healed. Incredible. And then God says, hey, listen, buddy, leave this conference right now and get down to the desert road. What? Yep, that's right, 200 miles away. Go down there, I've got something for you to do. So he goes down there and he meets an Ethiopian eunuch from the queen's house, the ruler of the queen's house of Ethiopia, and he's reading Isaiah. He runs up onto the chariot. He tells him about who the one that Isaiah 53 has written about, Jesus, Shekabungu, Yeshua. And he says to him, I want to be saved right now. So he says, well, this is what you need to do. Repent and be baptized. He says, well, I want to do that right now. I want to invite Jesus into my heart. And let's stop. Chariot, stop right now. There's a muddy pool of water right there. I want to be baptized in it. So Philip takes him, puts him in. And this isn't even Philip the apostle. This is Philip, one of the seven, that was a guy that was famous for feeding widows. Okay? Pizza delivery man. Thank you, Steve. Good one. A pizza delivery man. And he gets into the water and he baptizes the man, and as he pulls him up out of the water, and by the way, Steve met the leader, the Pope of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church last year, and that church that Philip started through that eunuch still exists today. So down he went, and as he comes up, all of a sudden Philip is gone. Now, folks, he'd left his clothes on the shoreline. And water gets you wet. And it says that Philip suddenly appeared in Azota, which means on a busy market day, hello everybody. Yeah, anybody got some pants? Maybe a shirt I could borrow? And come on, guys. Let's stir up our faith. Let's step into the greater works. This is the year. Let's begin to do them. It won't happen till we do them. Amen? All right. Why don't you stand up if you want to do greater works this year? Because there's an anointing on this message that God's given me for the church. Let this be the year. When I was in Norway just in December, I thought, I'm going to have a go with my shadow. And there were these lights. And they were shining. So the people that were sat over there, I went, there was a light over there. My shadow went on. And I just stopped for a minute and I went like that. And put my shadow on this girl. She started going crazy. Well, then I thought, well, that's kind of fun. So I went like that. Put my shadow on the girl next to her, who was in her mid-30s. That girl shot spontaneously out of her seat like she was ejected out of a catapult. And she went flying about, I don't know, 5 or 6 feet, landed on the floor. Kate was my witness. She'll tell you, ask her. And the girl went rolling, screaming across the floor of the church, backwards and forwards, just a shadow on her. Come on. What can God do through your shadow? What would Peter think? Listen, I want to leave you with this one thought, okay? I want to charge you up here. What would Peter have thought in his expectation if his shadow was healing people a few months after Jesus left? What was his expectation of what we would be doing 2,000 years later? Come on. Let's go for it, guys. We can do it. This is Daddy's year. This is our year. This is the year of the greater works. All right, just begin to close your eyes right now because this is between you and the Lord. I can't do this for you. Pastor Steve can't do this for you. Pastor John and Carol can't do this for you. This is only something that you and Jesus can do together. But I want you to know you can do it. Just make that decision in your heart. Lord, I am not going to rely on what I did yesterday. I'm not going to rely on what I did in previous conferences or previous events in my workplace when I healed people when I ministered to them. From now on, I'm going to allow my stories that are your stories of what you have done to stir me up and spur me on into the greater works. And in 2010, I want you, God, to do extraordinary, unusual, phenomenal miracles through me. I want to be a man or a woman who multiplies food. I want to experience that because you said I could do what Jesus did. I want to multiply food this year. God, I want to walk on water this year and not just in the wintertime. I want to do it in the summertime. I want to walk up to my friends while they're fishing on the lakes and I want to come walking up to them and give them the fright of their lives so they almost fall into the lake. And give their lives to Christ. I want this to be the year that I learn how to walk on water, God. I want this to be the year when I heal the sick, when I raise the dead even. I want this to be the year where you are able to transport me wherever you want in the world. And I'll go and do great things with you, for you, while I'm asleep in my bed. Abba! Now just begin to open your spirit. Let the Holy Spirit come and fill you right now. Just come and fill every person, Lord. And those of you who right now, you're just literally feeling charged. I'm talking about those of you who feel charged. I want you to run out of your seat and run up here quickly. Just if you're feeling charged, like you're just desperate. You don't want a life of mediocrity in the kingdom. You want a crazy, God-filled, extraordinary life. The kind of life that Jesus, only Jesus has lived. That kind of life. Just step right up, everybody. Don't go on the lines. Just step right up today. We're not going to have anybody falling over, please. There's not enough room. Just step right up to the platform, you guys. Squish right up. Squish right up. Just begin to start to really get hungry. Really expectant. You don't have to work anything up. But you do need to be honest with the Lord. To say, God, I'm dissatisfied with where I'm at. I want to do the greater works in your name. And just begin to start visualizing your relatives and your workplace. and visualize how different it would be if you started to do greater works. What would it look like if you started to do greater works? One of our children in our church, the kid's only 7 years old, for crying out loud. He went to the hospital to go visit one of his relatives, and then he ended up laying hands on her and healing her. And then he ended up laying hands on the person next to her and healing her too. Come on. 6 or 7 years. How old is he? Yeah, he's up at 7 years old. He's so bristling with faith and excitement. He makes me feel like I'm in kindergarten when I'm around him in the spirit. Abba. Okay, let's go, guys. Just begin to start. Deal with the Lord right now. Right now, there isn't prayer ministry team.